Good day, everyone, and a warm welcome to another edition of The Debate on Press TV. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. Media reports say that days before Libya's renegade general Khalifa Haftar launched an offensive on the country's capital, Tripoli, Saudi Arabia offered tens of millions of dollars to help him pay for the operation. According to the Wall Street Journal, the offer came during a visit by Haftar to the Saudi capital, Riyadh, ahead of his April 4th military campaign. Citing senior advisors to the Saudi government, the Wall Street Journal says that the offer of funds accepted by Haftar was intended to buy the loyalty of tribal leaders, recruit and pay fighters, and other military purposes. To discuss that, we're now joined by Rasul Sardar Atash, who is director of the TRT Arabic from Istanbul. Good to have you with us. Rasul, what is Riyadh pursuing in Libya?
Well, actually, Riyadh is not alone in that goal. Riyadh, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, and Cairo, they're all acting together. So this is camp that somehow doesn't want a democratic access or a democratic experience to get to achieve in the region, because I think these three states now, by being backed by the U.S., sees any democratic success in the region or any democratic government to succeed is a symbolic threat to their legitimacy.
Mm-hmm. And you also mentioned the United Arab Emirates and Egypt. Why should countries like Saudi Arabia and the UAE back Haftar's military move? We'll come to Egypt at a later point.
Well, you know, Khalifa Haftar somehow is internationally not recognized, and he is now initiating an assault over Tripoli government, which is backed and recognized by the international community, and including the United Nations as well. So on the other hand, Khalifa Haftar have been, you know, a defeated general during Muammar Gaddafi, and then starting from 1803 to 2013, he was in the USA, and most probably he got some of the contacts with the U.S. intelligence services as well. And right. Later, after Gaddafi has been toppled down, he got back to the country, and I think it was the ideal partner for many of the administrations in the region, those who are anti-democratic, I will say, anti-democratic governments. It was an ideal profile to cooperate against the democratic forces in the region.
Mm-hmm. And Rasul, as you know, General Haftar is not recognized by the West. So what would be Washington's reaction to what's going on?
Well, yeah, rhetorically, he's not recognized by the Western powers. But what for a fact we know is that the USA and France from Europe, they actually provide aid to Khalifa Haftar. And it will be naive to think that Saudi Arabia's aid, which is about roughly around, we are talking about 10 millions of the dollars. You know, right before 4th of April, Khalifa Haftar had a visit to Riyadh, and he met King Salman and the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman himself, and the, of course, head of the intelligence service of Saudi Arabia as well. Right after that, he granted tens of the millions of the aid, and when he got back to Benghazi, he initiated the assault over Tripoli. So it will be naive to think that actually Riyadh's aid to Khalifa Haftar is without approval of the USA. So even though rhetorically, officially, the USA and Western powers do not recognize Khalifa Haftar, but practically they are in contact, and to be honest, actually it's their favorite guy in Libya.
Mm-hmm. And as you know, many people in Libya describe General Haftar as a figure who is similar to former dictator Muammar Gaddafi. Now, if Haftar takes control of Tripoli, will people welcome him?
Well, I think from now on, it's almost impossible to keep Libya together. Simply and practically, it has been divided into three parts. Benghazi-based government, which is led by Khalifa Haftar and backed by Egypt, France, de facto, USA, Emirates, and Saudi Arabia. On the other hand, another government in Tripoli, which is recognized by the United Nations. But what that means, we do not know, actually. I mean, being recognized by the United Nations does not mean that you have an international protection. And on the other hand, from the south of the country, there is another kind of tribal league as well. So practically, it is divided into three parts. But From now on, only, I will say, a moderate face or a moderate voice could keep Libya, politically at least, not practically, but politically at least together. And definitely that's not Khalifa Haftar, because if Khalifa Haftar takes over Tripoli as well, I think his policy, his mentality, and the way that he's dividing, already labeling all of the fractures of the society is radically, I will say, exclusive. It is he's not capable of providing a government that would include the different segments of society, which, you know, Libya is a kind of federation of the tribes, and so now even the half of the tribes are against him. He's not definitely the guy to keep the country together. And I don't think that, by the way, the international community is that much into the favor of a united Libya. Politically, yes, but practically, I don't think that it is a top priority of the agenda of the international community.
Okay, also joining us on the phone from London is William Morris, who is with the Next Century Foundation. He's the Secretary General of the Next Century Foundation. Let me put the same question to William. Do you believe that people in Libya will welcome General Haftar if he takes the helm in that country?
Well, the problem is, for people in Tripoli, at least they've seen what General Haftar has done in Benghazi. And the, as you know, Benghazi is a catastrophe. It's a there's no particular authority. It's pretty lawless. There's been no reconstruction. And since General Haftar took Benghazi, it's been miserable for the citizens of Benghazi. They're also slightly nervous of people in Tripoli are slightly nervous of the ragtag people that have joined General Haftar's group. And this has been a problem because they are ungovernable, and these are people that have come in as recruited as from everywhere. And so this has been bothering and worrying the people in Tripoli. I mean, they're not particularly happy with any militia, let me be clear. And some of the groups in Tripoli have been pretty pretty disturbing, because what people in Tripoli are looking forward to is some sort of peace process and some sort of end to this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now let's go back to Rasul. Rasul, talking about Libya, we also have a similar thing happening in Sudan. There was a military coup and Omar al-Bashir was toppled. Now, Saudi Arabia and the UAE have welcomed this new head, who is at the head of the transitional, you know, military council. And this is in contrast to the will of the people in Sudan. They want a civilian government. How can you analyze and make a comparison regarding the Saudi role in the two African countries?
Well, it's not surprising that Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates welcomed the coup in Sudan, because, as you know, particularly United Arab Emirates was very much deeply involved in the coup. On the other hand, let's keep in mind that Omar al-Bashir was a horrible dictator, and he has committed horrible crimes against humanity. Let's not forget about Darfur. But that does not mean that those who took power are better than him. So I will say bad guys actually kicked off a bad guy. But from the day first, you remember the day of the Bashir has been toppled down. There has been negotiations between two fractions of the army. One of the fractions was in favor of giving an exit to Omar al-Bashir that will not harm his dignity. Simply the scenario was to give him an exit and to come up in front of the cameras and say that based on my free will, I am resigning to open up a door for the future of the country and seeking an asylum, political asylum from either Egypt or Saudi Arabia. And the other fraction was, I will say, a little bit more hawkish. And they forced him, and they somehow forced him not only to say that I'm willingly resigning, but they said actually we have toppled down him. And that fraction was directly supported by the Emiratis. From the day first, the Sudanese army was divided into two fractions, and one fraction was practically controlled by Emirati forces and was financed by Abu Dhabi. So in that respect, it's not surprising that Emiratis are welcoming the coup that took place in Sudan. But Sudanese people, of course, are very much disappointed because that was not their dream. While getting rid of a bad guy who has managed the country in a horrible way for more than three decades, that guy to be replaced with those who are even potentially could be worse than him, that is definitely not matching the dream of people of Sudan.
Okay, let's go to William Morris. William, the WHO says that 120 people, even more, have lost their lives, and 600 others have been wounded in the Libya conflict in recent days. The Friday offensive took the lives of a score of civilians. A school on the southern outskirts of Tripoli also came under attack on Saturday, and some 13,500 people have left their homes too. Who's responsible for all of this?
Yes, I mean, the school, fortunately, there were no children in the school at the time, but yes, that was very disturbing. Yes, who's responsible? I mean, the problem is that General Haftar is attacking Tripoli on two fronts in an exercise he can't win. I mean, he can't. The Tripoli militias are too strong for him, so he can't actually take Tripoli unless there is a long drawn out civil war. It would take some time, and the suffering for the people of Tripoli would be immense. So of course, what's happening is, I mean, I have a friend who lives on the outskirts of Tripoli. She's had to run from her home because of the Haftar's forces advancing, and then the Haftar's forces have retreated, and then she runs back to collect some of her stuff, and then she runs away again. It's this sort of scenario. The airport, the international airport, if you can call it an airport, has been taken by one side, retaken by the other, then taken and retaken, and so on, which is on the outskirts of Tripoli. So it's a messy business. Haftar is proving unable to take Tripoli, certainly not in any instant fashion. And people are gathering together to fight against him. The people are coming from Misrata, going up to fight and volunteering. You have the recipe for more and more civil war, and it's unfortunate because there was a peace process in place.
That's right.
Okay,
William, sorry. I have to jump in. We have only 1 minute left. What are the chances of a democratic and independent Libya? 30 seconds, please.
If they were allowed, if the people of Libya, if all the foreign players left Libya, all of them, then there would be peace. I mean, the people of Libya would sort it out. There is every chance of it, but not with this empire building. And it's a multitude of countries are playing games there, including France. The European country, France, is also up to mischief. So you have a lot of problems.
All right. On that note, we come to the end of this debate. Let me thank Rasul Sardar Atash, who is director of TRT Arabic, who joined us from Istanbul, and also William Morris, who was Secretary General of the Next Century Foundation, joining us out of Cornwall. Thank you for watching this debate. We'll see you next time.